Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everybody out at Murfreesboro Church today. It's time to start our worship. Grab a song to remember. Turn over to page 57. We'll sing "At the Cross," verse 1, 2, and 5. 1, 2, and 5. Beautiful singing. Turn over to page 58. 58. Verse 1 and verse 3.
Thank you. Morning, everybody. It's good to see everybody out today. Have you had a good week?
Yes.
I got a few yeses. That's good. A few people awake. We are glad to have everybody here today. I hope you've had a good week, as I said, and I hope you've had a blessed week in this also today. So let's be about the Lord's business today in this service. Whatever the Lord puts upon your heart, you follow the Lord. Now, I realize we've got some that are traveling. It's that time of year when everybody is vacationing and everybody's doing this and that. And I understand that to a great degree, but I hope and pray that we'll pray for them, first of all, that they'll be safe and be back here with us real soon. But let's also pray for them that they are remembering us today and that they are sad that they're not here in the house of the Lord with us today. Let's pray that they will, because I believe the Bible tells us, or rather the saying is, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And I hope that their absence makes us fonder of them, but also their absence also makes them fonder of us, is what I hope they would do. Now, I want us to go ahead and get into our lessons today, our services today. I do want to make a few quick announcements before I go any further. Revivals are going on still around. I'm going to mention two that I heard about, and that was Landmark. Is still in progress. They've had a lot of good services there. They've had two different ones that have sought this week, is the way I understood it. So remember that revival as it continues. And New Bethel up in the Goodlettsville area, it started the other night and will be going on all this week. So do remember those two. Our business meeting is this afternoon after our service. Let's be prayerful about it, that it'll be as the Lord would have it to be. And then also this Friday, the Joyful Hearts group, the adult Sunday school class, will be meeting back once again back here in the kitchen area, and we'll be eating and having a good day of fellowship. And I did want to remember those few things. With that being said, I want to move along a little faster today for just a few minutes. Kids, come on down to this way. I'm going to take up a little bit more time with y'all today, if we possibly can. And we just want you to come in and help today, if we can. Everybody that will, come this way. Got a good little group here today, haven't we? Yep, here comes some more. Good. In Sunday school, y'all have been learning about baseball a little bit, haven't you? You're studying the prophets, aren't you? Now, Sister Heather asked me a couple of weeks ago about something about baseball. She was telling me about it, and I told her a story that I had heard a long time ago, and she asked me would I do it for y'all's children's church sometime or another. So we're going to try this today, and I hope I can make this to be what you can understand it, okay? I need some help, though. I need four kids. Call on Landon. Can you help me today? I want y'all both to come up here. Ashley, can you help me? Hope, can you come here too? You're not going to go far. None of you are. How many of you play softball or baseball one? Quite a good bunch of you, though. Okay, you're studying about baseball, and you have a diamond, right? I want you to stand right here. I want you to stand a little bit like this. Come here, Landon. I want you right here. Okay. You're going to be my first base, all right? Can you say first base?
First base.
And first base is salvation in God's way, right? First base, salvation.
First base, salvation.
Thank you. Landon, you're going to be second base. Second base is church membership, okay? Second base, church membership.
Second base, church membership, and getting baptized.
Right, good job. Ashley, you're third base. You're going to be doing the work of church member.
Third base, doing the church of work members.
Working for the church. And you're home plate.
Home plate.
And what is home plate? That's going to heaven.
Going to heaven.
Right. Now, I want y'all to, each one of you, remember these things. You see, I'm going to be the batter. And since, see, you're my first base, I'm going to do that. This is second base. And then this is going to be third base. And then home plate. Does this sound like it could be interesting? I hope it does. Now, in this, as I am batting, see, life is like a baseball game in many ways. So I get up to the bat, and here I am getting ready to bat. You're grinning at me. Do I look that silly? Well, thank you. I'm up here ready to bat, and I hit the ball. Like it right there. And it goes way out there in the outfield. Goes over the outfielder's head. So I'm taking off through here. And you watch these guys running the bats. They're running like this right here. And they get up there and they go around first base. And they come up here to second base. I got me a double. And what is second base?
Second base, joining the church.
Right. And I got up here, and you see, I went up here, and I passed first, and I got to second base, and I'm joined the church. And here comes the ball flying in. That's the way life is. And the guy out there in the outfielder, he throws that ball over the second baseman's head. And the pitcher, he's mad because I hit it, and he ain't paying attention, and he just got off. And the ball went by him, and it went all the way to the fence again. So I decide, well, I can do a little bit more. And that's what we do as people of God. We want to do a little bit more. So I run over here to third base. What's third base?
Helping the church.
Right. We're doing the church. And I'm over here and I'm starting to do my work and doing everything for God. And you know, that would be like helping in Sunday school, doing things for church, and just doing testifying and such as that. Well, that guy gets a hold of the ball, and he throws it towards third base, and he misses him completely, and it goes out into the outfield. So here I am, and I'm running towards
heaven,
right? And I get there. Now, at home plate, there is an umpire. Well, the umpire is God. And he's over there, and he's looking at me, and you know what he done? He looked at me when I hit the home plate, and he says, "You're out." You know why you're out? Right. And I skipped the most important one, first base, salvation.
Salvation.
Right. You see, there's a rule in baseball. If you skip first base and you make it all the way around to home plate, you're still out because that I didn't get salvation first in the story. See, baptism, joining the Lord's church, y'all can go ahead and sit down if you want to. They're all good. Living good, working in the church is a good thing. But the most important thing there is being saved. So if you skip first base, you're still out. That's the rule in baseball and softball, right? You've got to get your foot on that first base. That salvation is the most important thing. Everybody get that? Okay, I'm going to hush and leave y'all alone. Thank y'all so much. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. Your birthday's Saturday, right? You know what? That's mine too. Did you know that? We can celebrate together, can't we? Thank y'all. Y'all go right ahead. Thank y'all, kids. Well, I hope I was able to get it over to them, is what I hope I did. With that being said, I appreciate everybody being here today. And I hope you enjoyed the little story there about baseball. As I said, Sister Heather is teaching in her classes about the major and minor prophets, and using a baseball theme, as it is major league and the minor leagues in baseball. And it is a good subject and a good way of teaching the children. And she asked me to teach this. She thought it might help out as far as the kids getting this understanding in them also. As far as things of life, they mirror things of God. And so it is important for us to use the things that we do deal with from time to time to keep that in our minds also, that we need to serve God. But the most important thing is getting saved first. That's the main thing. Joining the church, being baptized is great. Living for God, living in the church is great. But except you be saved, you shall perish, is what the Bible tells us. With that being said, I'll hush. We appreciate everybody being here today. Glad to have our visitors with us. As we always do, we have different young people that we try to get to do the reading of our prayer request. And he disappeared on me. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. You want me to get one of the other young people to do it? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right. Yeah, okay. I'll just go ahead and read it. I'm sorry he got sick. I probably made him sick, probably what I did by asking him. My heart's sorry to hear that. I hope Caden gets feeling better, is what I hope he does. Sorry to hear that. Our birthdays today are Brother Bill McCullough, Jake Ruiz, Caden Hernandez, Hernsberger, excuse me, Callie Mae Phelps, and then my birthday is next Saturday. The anniversaries is Brother Kevin and Robin Dillard. Their anniversary is today. Prayer requests that were mentioned this morning in our classes were pray for Brother Tony and Brother Sam's pray for Brother Tony's, Brother Sam's friend. He has cancer. Pray for Sister Cheryl's grandson that is lost. Pray for all the lost that we still have. We need to remember them. There's still 40-something kids on my list. So we still have a lot of work to do. Pray for Brother Key's friend, Brother Mr. Samuel, that is still lost, and he is also sick, too. Pray for the Lowrys. Pray for Sister Linda Knapp, who has a leg hurting her. Pray for Sister Sandy's grandson and her sisters. Pray for Brother Blaine's family. His cousin's mother-in-law died, and a friend's nephew died from COVID. Pray for Sister Gertrude's family, husband, who has COVID. Pray also for Sister Vanessa and Brother Stewart and Sister Pauline also in that. Out of the classes in the back, the children and teachers that are going back to school, and they need our prayers. Let's remember the lost. The young people have the law still on their mind. And pray for the Holy Spirit to move in our services is what the kids. Those last three were from the kids back in the back. So keep those things on your mind. Also, we need those things in our church services. With that being said, does anybody else have any prayer requests to go before the church at this time? Lord, help. Lord, help. Let's remember this. Friends that have COVID, and we're all starting to experience that, I want everybody just to be careful, is the way I'm going to say it. We want everybody to do what you need to do. There's nobody going to look down on you if you have a mask on you. There's nobody going to look down upon you if you kind of stand back. We're not going to look down upon you if you don't stick your hand out to shake hands, if you don't do a fist bump, or if you just want to say, okay, hang on. That'll be fine with me. And let's do what we can to be safe is what I want us all to do. And keep that in mind. and during these coming days as COVID is ramping back up. Let's pray that this church will not be affected by it. If it is, not badly. Not badly in anybody. And so let's be prayerful for that. Somebody else have a prayer request. Lord, Lord help.
She's pretty nervous, and she's also nervous about being in a healthcare facility with COVID on her. And also, yesterday, our mother church, Long Fork, buried a deacon.
Lord help.
John Wheely. And at the dinner afterwards, his wife became very ill.
Lord help.
And she was life-flighted to Vanderbilt.
Lord help.
And was admitted there. I haven't heard from her this morning. So remember Mary and their daughter, Kate.
Lord help. Let's do remember these things, especially Miss Carolyn and her surgery. But let's remember this family has lost their loved one also. Somebody else.
I'd like to request prayer for a boy. I don't know him. There's a girl that I graduated with. And her son, he's in his 20s, late 20s, is in the hospital. And the doctors say that they don't expect him to live.
Lord help. Let's do remember Vincent. This is a friend of Sister Heather's son. And let's remember him as he's not expected to live. Just 20-year-old, we don't think about that. But death can come upon the young and the old, can it? Somebody else. Lord help you. Yeah. Lord help. Bless you, Brother Steve. Let's remember Brother Steve's friend, Brother House. He said he's ready. He was ready to meet the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. Let's do remember him in our prayers. I think he was just in his 50s, right? Is what he was. So, again, that's what we consider to be a little bit young. Be passing, but death is not a respecter of age nor person. So let's do remember that. Somebody else. I appreciate everybody being here today. Let's be prayerful one for another, and let's ask the Lord to come back and be with us. I do have one other quick announcement. I believe it's next Sunday, won't it? That we're going to be at, no, it's Sunday after next. Two weeks. We will be baptizing Brother Clay. I had to get my days signed, lined up. But we will be baptizing Brother Clay in 2 weeks from today. So keep that in mind as far as announcement. And be prayerful for him. As you may have noticed on our board back there, we've added several faces where they've joined lately. And let's pray for all of our new members, that each and every one of them can grow into the best member that they can be. And I want you to notice I said grow. Because just like growing up as a child, you did not start out running and walking, even walking, I shouldn't say. In church, you will start out slow, but you will move on up. And I pray that you'll be a sprinter as far as God's work. That's what I pray for each one of them and each one of you. So let's keep that in mind. Anybody else have a prayer request? I appreciate everyone being here today. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we want you to do. Whether it's out loud or quietly, you just pray is what we want you to do in this service. We're going to call on one to start our prayer, but want everybody to pray. Brother Brad, I feel like you need to start our prayer today, if you would. Everybody.
Turn over to page 38. Page 38.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. We'll do one more congregational song, a very short one. Turn over to page 49. Come and meet me. Let's try a number.
Time.
appreciate everybody being here. Enjoyed the good singing today. Good songs this morning. I hope everybody has enjoyed them very much. And I just pray that we can all just do what the Lord would have us to do in this service today. Does anybody have anything on your heart before we go any further? We are truly thankful for the opportunity. Go ahead, Sister Ruth. Amen. Yes, ma'am. What else? Amen. Lord bless. Bless your heart. Lord bless. Yeah. Bless your heart, sister. Appreciate this. Appreciate this testimony. Somebody else. Appreciate this testimony. And she is right. It is, he is the one we can call on when we are in trouble. And that's saved people. But, sinner friend, I want you to know you can still call on him too. And you're in the biggest trouble of anybody here. Yeah, we've got our things that basically, that are basically day-to-day things, and some of them are bad. Don't get me wrong. But you're in danger of a devil's hell. And in your state, you are in big trouble. You are. And keep that in mind. Appreciate this. Somebody else. As Sister Ruth says, we had a good revival, and it needs to continue. We don't have to have a series of meetings, services, I should say, to have a revival. Each Sunday, each Wednesday night, each day of the week can be a time of revival. And I would even say there could be a special set of services set up and just take off with them anytime. If you wanted to go a couple of days or in revival, it'd be good for the church just to be that responsive to God's word and to his will, to put forth an effort to see souls saved, for us to get back into where we need to be. I'd say every one of us could definitely say that since the revival has closed, that we probably slid back a little bit. It's easy to do, isn't it? And as it's already said, it's always something coming up. There's this little bit here, a little bit there that keeps jumping up. And I'm going to say this. The devil is working hard to get us back to where we were before meeting. And he wants us to forget about these sinners. He wants us to forget about God. Get worried about everything else, whether it's ball practice, whether it's going to a football game or going to work or doing whatever. That's what he wants us to do. Not have our mind on God. The devil is looking for a place to get his toe in on you, to climb up all over you. And me too, don't get me wrong. He's looking for a place just to put that toe in, and he'll wiggle his way in and make us what? Not worth much to God is what he wants to do. But if we'll rely on God and call on him, we'll definitely be that way. Somebody else got a word on your heart. With that being said, if the Lord's willing, we'll be trying to bring a message today out of the book of Titus. Out of the book of Titus. Only three chapters here. And we'll be taking our verse I'm going to read the last three verses this morning for our reading lesson. The last three verses of the second chapter of Titus is where we're going to take our reading lesson from today. Be prayerful for us. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purifying unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, really, the last verse doesn't have that much to do with this message today, other than this was what Paul was telling Titus. You need to preach on these things. This is what you need to teach in the church there, in the churches where you go. But the main thought that we're going to have today is going to come from the 14th verse. And the main part is going to be a peculiar people zealous of good works is what our main thought is going to be today. Now, we're going to try, by the Lord's help, to touch a few different points here. But I asked you to pray for us today because this may be a little bit of a different message than what I usually preach. But it is needful for us today to get some of these points in. It is important for us as a church to know who we are and what we're here for. Now, I want you to get that first word there, that peculiar. How many of you are really familiar with that word? Really, it is an old Bible word or old English word is what it is. In the Greek version, that word is only in the Bible one time. Don't ask me to pronounce it. There's another word that is similar to it that is also translated in the same way as peculiar, but it's a little bit different in that way. And this word here, and as I said, it's only in the Bible one time as far as in the Greek version, and what it means, a special individual. A special individual is what that it means. And what he is saying here today is he have purified unto him a special people today. That's what you are special people today. Now the normal term that which we translate in our language, and I'll basically say the way we do it in Tennessee, is peculiar is, that's peculiar. That's odd. That's weird. Is what we generally tend to think about the word peculiar. That is the idea. It's something that is very odd. And truthfully today, I want us to realize we as a church today, we as saved people, let me back that up and say that different. We should be peculiar to the world is what we are or should be. The reason why that we should be different from the world is because that we are a special people today. Now, let me take this up to the adults first. Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends. Look at that person that is beside you or wherever you at today in your mind and look at them. Were they special to you? The answer is yes. Were they peculiar to you at that time? Actually, don't be making fun of him now. Were they peculiar in that they were different from anybody else? The answer is yes. What made them different in that point in time? Oh, there's any number of ways that you can answer that question, and I'm going to refrain from referring to Paula today on this, lest I be in trouble here. But the idea is when you look at that person, you chose them for a special reason. Was it out of just love at first sight? Was it their beauty? Was it their ugliness in men's case? What was it about them that they chose you? You think about that for just a moment and then put it on the other foot. Why did God choose you? You were special. Israel itself was a nation that was peculiar in many ways, wasn't it? It was a nation that God told them. He said, I did not choose you because that you were many. I did not choose you because you were greater. I did not choose you because of this thing or that thing. But he said, I chose you and I loved you and I helped you is what he does. And that is what God is going to do for this church here today. But he wants them to be a special people. He wants you to stand out from the world. Now, let me give you another verse that uses that word peculiar again. And I said, it's in there different times. And this one is the other type that uses that word. In the ninth verse of 1 Peter in the second chapter, he said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. Now, in that idea today, we are peculiar. We are that are saved. We have been called out of darkness. We've been called out of the things of this world as far as our salvation is concerned. When God saved our soul, he brought us out of darkness and he set us on a path for him is what he has done. And he wants us to be, in our terms, in our ways of saying it, peculiar to the world is what he wants us to be. I want you to go over, I believe it's into the 12th chapter of the book of Romans. I want you to look at a verse here, if you would. In the first verse, he says, Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, think about that. Your reasonable service unto the Lord. Now, we're talking about being a peculiar people to bring forth praise unto God, to show forth Jesus Christ to the world is what we're talking about. Now, the main part that I want you to get is the second verse here. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see today, to be that special person that God wants you to be, he does want you to stand out from the world. He does. He does not want us to be ones who are conformed, is the word that he used, to the world. He does not want you to blend in today into this world. You know, it's very easy, and I done it a lot in my younger days. Even though that I was saved, even though that I was called to preach, I conformed in many cases to the ways of this world. I was a teenager. I was in high school. I wanted to have friends just like you did. I wanted to be able to live my life, but I still wanted to be the man of God that God wanted me to be. And so there is a warfare there, but it is important for us, get this today, it is important for us not to conform to this world. Why? If the world sees us just like everybody else. Now, let's pick on somebody here today. If every one of us, and let's put Brother Raymond up here with me, and I'm not going to say coming up here, and me and him looked identical. We was twins all the way around. And then we looked around, and Sister Tammy looked just like us. And then we looked over here, and Brother Sam looked like us. Huh. After a while, if everybody in the house looked exactly like everybody else, let me ask you something. How would you be able to pick out Sister Tammy from us? How would you be able to look around and pick out this one or that one if they all looked exactly the same? And if we as God's people are going to be special in the world's eyes today, how, if we look exactly like everybody else, how are we going to be special in the eyes of God? Answer that one for me. You think about that today. How are we going to be special in God's eyes if we look just like the people down the road? Now, this may be a part that a lot of people may not understand today. It is important for this church today to be special. It is important for this church not to blend in, first of all, into the world. There is a lot of churches today, I'm going to back it up and say this different. There is a lot of so-called churches in this world today that when you walk into their buildings, the people there have a worldly tone to them. I'm talking about their language. I'm not talking about talking about worldly things. I'm talking about being worldly, even in some cases, using language that is ungodly. There's churches, so-called churches today, where their dress is exactly as what you would see at Walmart or some other store. There is dress that would be similar to what you would see at a beach or at an amusement park. And they blend in with the world. Yes, it's casual. Yes, it's free. Yes, it is something that everybody would enjoy. But I want you to think today, we are a special people. Now, being a special person doesn't mean having on a shirt and tie. It does not mean having on a coat suit or whatever like that. Bless your hearts if you're able to do so. But the thing about it is, it's being special in the eyes of God. That's what I'm talking about today. We as a church today, we're not to blend in with the world. We're not to blend in with the things that the world is teaching today either, though. We are to be a special people today. One that is bringing about the ways of God. How did he say it in our reading lesson? Who gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now, what does it mean to be zealous? That means having a great desire, is the way I'm going to put it. A great desire to do good works. How many of you that's worked, we'll say in school, you seen that kid over there, when the teacher handed out an assignment, just shoved it aside. I'll go play tic-tac-toe, whatever. I would rather imagine this. I'd rather have a daydream about this. I'd rather play with my fingers, if you would. I would rather do anything than do my homework. Think about that for a minute. They're not very zealous of getting the job done, are they? They are just thinking about it, but as being something that they can put off till later. Now, in church work today, God expects us as saved people to be zealous of good work. Parents, how many of you love it when your child comes home, they've had a day in school, and they've got all their homework, it's already done, already great work, you may check over it, hey, you done a good job, hand it back to them. That's great, isn't it? They were zealous enough, they had enough interest in it, that they got it and got it done right the first time, and you are tickled to death with that. Church, how are we doing on our homework? Are we? Have we shoved it aside to play tic-tac-toe? I think the kids know what tic-tac-toe is. I hope they do. Think about it. How are we doing on our homework? Jesus, or rather Paul said unto Titus, that you may be a peculiar people unto zealous works. I looked at those kids. I was one of those kids that shoved it to the side. I'd rather play tic-tac-toe. I'd rather play this or do that. I was not that kind of a kid. I need to be the kind of kid that goes on and does his work now and does what God wants us to do is what I need to be. That's what every one of us needs to be. And that is what God wants out of us as a church. Not conforming to the things of the world, but conforming unto God. You see, we've got to have a renewing of our minds. How many times do we find ourselves looking at our life? Well, my heart will guide me here, but it really comes down to what's up here. Oh, I'm not talking about smartness or wisdom and knowledge. I'm talking about what's in here as far as being zealous of the works of God, having that desire to be working for God, having that desire to go ahead and do what God lays upon our heart, having the zeal to want to be right with God. Oh, I'm saved. Preacher, I was saved a long time ago. I've been on this journey for a long time. I've been living for Him for a long time is what I've been doing. I'm okay on that. Are you? Are you? We as a church today, we are to be zealous of the good works. We are to be zealous, first of all, of the ways of God. What is the ways of God? Hey, it's a good thing that we carried them backpacks down here to school. That's a good thing. It's a good practice. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing if we carry food to somebody and help them. It's a good thing if we do those kinds of good works. Yes, but I want to ask you something. Are we not blending in with the other churches down the road? We're to be a peculiar people, a special people. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for us doing those things. But what is God looking at us for in this life? Our first job is to be zealous of the good works, being peculiar, to praise God, to give Him honor, to give Him glory, following His rules, following His ways. Not our ways, not man's ways, but God's ways. The church itself, God's church, is supposed to be special. Let me give you an example. The model, the picture of it in the Old Testament was a people that was called the chosen people of God, the nation Israel. They rejected Jesus. Do you know, y'all know that, don't you? They rejected Jesus, but you know what they did also? They turned Him away so much that God turned unto the Gentiles. Now, let's go back to the early days of the nation of Israel. God gave them laws to go by. He gave them things that they were supposed to follow. He gave them rules to follow. He gave them ordinances, you might say, to follow. They were to be reminded of how that God delivered them, how that they done it with the Passover. They were to recognize the sheep, the lambs that they gave in sacrifices, and that those things was their salvation from Egypt, is what they was. And by us, we are to remember Jesus Christ. Our baptism is special like their circumcision. They're not the same. And they cannot save. Circumcision didn't save them. Neither does baptism save us. But the thing about it, their Passover meal was a forerunner to our Lord's Supper, if you would. And it is special. And notice in each case, it was special to those people. Passover and circumcision was special to Israel. Baptism and Lord's Supper should be special to the church. And when I say special, I'm going to use the word they use, peculiar. A lot of the world thinks, well, you just invite everybody in. They did invite them in the children of Israel, but they had to go through the process. They had to become a Jew outwardly. You know what we have to do? We have to do, as Paul said in the, I think it's the third chapter, or maybe the second chapter of the book of Romans, we have to become a Jew inwardly, is what we are. And thus, folks, we are the chosen people of God. We have become the chosen people of God in the Lord's church. Not Israel itself, but the church itself is God's peculiar people, is what they are. And because that we are that special people, we are to bring praise to God. And when we follow His rules, God's rules, we give Him praise. We give Him honor. We give Him glory in obedience unto Him, is what we do. And oh yeah, He does like to say, hear us say, thank you, Lord. He likes to hear us say, praise God. Praise our Heavenly Father for what He has done. He loves to hear us do that. But what did Samuel say to King Saul? Obedience is far, now I'm going to paraphrase this, is far worth more money, or worth more than sacrifice. We are a peculiar people today. We are to act like a peculiar people. We are to conform to His ways, is what we're supposed to do. We are to be reminded that we are to renew our minds. And what that really means is we're supposed to train our mind. Have you trained your mind lately? I don't know about you, but my mind, training it's about like training my tongue. Bible says that's a hard thing to train up your tongue, to train your tongue. I believe my mind's just about as bad. It is important for us to follow His rules. It's important for us to be that special people. I want to get this one verse here, or a couple verses here. I'm going to go over to, and I think I done turned it down, 62nd chapter of the book of Isaiah is where I'm going. Let me give you a couple verses here. And part of this is going to sound a little bit odd. Isaiah writes, He says, go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. That sounds a little bit odd in many ways. But if you ever watch one of these road crews, when they start to build a road, you know what they do the very first thing? They tear it up, don't they? They take a big piece of equipment in there and they'll start going through there and tearing it up and they'll dig it out. And what they'll do, and what he says, cast out the stones. Cast out the rocks, in other words. Have you ever went down a road that had a big rock about the size of that speaker in it, sitting right about middle ways? Boy, it makes a big bounce, don't it? Don't even take one that big, really. He said, cast out the stones that are there. And what he was talking about, we as God's people, we are to set a route for everybody else. We are setting the standard to that. If you have a worker that is working in your job and that worker is leaving jobs undone, if he leaves a stone in the way, it looks bad upon everybody else. And what us as church members today, we need to hold a strict standard that God will be pleased with. I want you to know something today. You're not here to please me. You're not here to please these deacons. You're not here to please these ladies over here or these ladies over here. You're not here to please these men over here or these men over here. You're here to please God. Cast up the stones. Have a standard. He said, lift up the standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, saying, ye to the daughters of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Now, I want you to understand something today. Yes, Zion, when it was mentioned in the Old Testament, was talking about Jerusalem or Judah most of the time. But as in a spiritual term, in the spiritual ways, these mean the church itself when he's talking about Zion. These are words that the church is to set the standard. And we are not to conform to the standards of the churches of Rutherford County, not the churches, I will say, of the metro area. We are to set the standard that God has set up for us today. And we're to follow his standards. Let me get you one more verse and I'll try to close. And they shall call them. Now I want you to get that first word. They, what does they mean? We're talking about the church. Who is they? Not the church. That's everybody else that's looking at us. Let me back up a verse here. Not here in Isaiah, but over in the book of Acts. Term we use all the time today is Christians. What did it say about them? They were first called Christians. You know why? Because they were like Christ. That's why you won't hear me say I'm a Christian. You're supposed to be the judge of me on that. Yeah. You and them. They. He says, then they shall call them the holy people. Pretty high standard, isn't it? God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know what that means? Be like God. But preacher, I won't have any friends if I'm holy. You'll have the best friend you'll ever have, and that's God. Hey, that girl, she may not love you right now, but if you'll show her Jesus and how that she can be saved, and she does get saved, you know what she'll do? She'll love you more when she finds him. That boy will do the same thing. Your best friend will love you even more, for you showed him the Lord. Let me get on here. He said, they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Not because we say that we're redeemed, but because they see us as redeemed, being already bought, paid for by God, being one of his people, knowing that we are special in their eyes is what we are. Get this next to last phrase. A city sought out. You know, God wants you to be somebody that the world would seek you out. What does that mean? They want to be with you. They want you to show them the Lord. They want you to set the standard before them that you cleaned out the rocks in the way where that they could find the way, the highway, and get to the Lord. That's what they want you to do. They want to seek you out. Lord, I'm lost. I'm in trouble. Hey, brother, can you pray for me? Hey, sister, can you tell me how to find the Lord? Hey, church, can you show me Jesus? A city not forsaken. Never did get to that. When God's church is so special, young man, I want to ask you two questions. This is one for young men, young women. Let's get the old fellas in there too. When you were shopping for that boyfriend, girlfriend, what got your attention? There was something special about that woman, wasn't it? How many of you young women looked at that man and said, "Ooh, he's pretty"? I've heard my girl say that. God wants us to be special, peculiar to this world. One that is chosen out by God, and they can see it. They know there's something special about you. Yeah, something special about you. I'm nothing. How many of you said that right then? I'm nothing. You know, God considers you to be very, very special. Take advantage of your specialness. Take advantage of it. Brother Brad, I'm going to hush. You are a special people. Yeah, the world will call it peculiar. You old Baptists, y'all as peculiar as it can be. Man sent me a message the other day. He wanted me to answer some questions. I don't believe what y'all teach. Y'all, he didn't say it, but he won't say, y'all just peculiar. Thank God. Thank God that I am peculiar to this world. Thank God. know the way to the Lord. I'm going to tell you one other little funny thing here, and I'm going to close out. And don't take offense to this if you're not like us. Seen this the other day, and I'd heard it for years. I asked an old preacher one time, he said, if he wasn't a Baptist, what would he be? He said, ashamed. And some people might say that's a little bit strict. That's a little bit rough on folks. But I'm going to tell you something. If I didn't believe what I believed, I wouldn't be a Baptist. You know why? Because we are special. Don't you want to be that special one? Don't you want to be that special one? I got to hush. Think about that today, church. You are special. Now be special to this world. I'll hush while we sing.
Won't you stand? If you feel like you need to come and pray, come down to the altar if you'd like. Page 112.